Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting what you say. Today is the day. Good morning and welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. This is hour two for the 29th of January in the freezing tundra that is apparently almost our entire country right now. Record lows all around the United States and certainly here in the Midwest in Minneapolis, St. Paul, where we're broadcasting from. It is about -7 with some pretty significant wind chills this morning as well. And Rachel Sutton, it sounds like your parents, if you ever question their wisdom in the past, you can never question their wisdom in the future because they are not in Minnesota right now. Where are they?
They are not. They're in Hawaii, and they certainly chose the right week to do so.
Did they have some sort of weather crystal ball that the rest of us did not have access to when they planned this trip, or how did this go?
Nope. So actually, my dad was speaking at a conference, so it was planned out way ahead of time. But I guess just knowing that January is always, well, a little brutal, maybe not this brutal usually.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
Well, I always love it when we have those kind of conferences that happen in warm weather climates in January. You're getting pictures of turtles, though. It sounds like they're having more than just a conference. They're also maybe swimming in the ocean around there.
Yeah. So my mom, while my dad's speaking at the conference, she gets to just kind of enjoy Hawaii. So she's sending us pictures of the beach and of the turtles. And my little sister loves that, as she loves all sorts of animals and wildlife.
That's great stuff. Well, I'm Paul Perreault. We're getting some texts even this morning from our old friend Logan Roush, who was a producer of this show prior to Rachel. He's in Iowa, Waterloo, Iowa right now as part of the radio stations down there. I think it's awfully cold all over the place. I think we could probably call people in Tennessee and call people on the East Coast and Hartford, Connecticut, where people are listening. Yeah, this is a really interesting weather pattern this time around, to say the least.
Well, before you were talking with Rosemary last hour, I had to talk to her about our weather situation. She said, yeah, it's about 20 degrees. Then I told her about what we're going to have with 20, 30 below. She couldn't conceive of it.
Well, it's funny how
she's a Carolina girl, so.
Yeah, you get sort of, it's interesting how you get sort of used to it, though, on some level. I mean, 20 degrees at this point, to me, would feel like T-shirts and shorts. I mean, we'd be out celebrating in that kind of weather.
Get the bar, soak up the Barbie. Come on.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to the start of hour two here. I know you're going to stay and join me in studio, both of you two, as also Nicole J. Phillips is going to join us. She's our kindness expert. I know she shies away from that title, but I keep applying it to her anyway. And we're going to talk about different stories of kindness, as we often do on Tuesday morning. And would love for you as listeners, if you have some brief stories of kindness that are inspiring, to think about how we can do our days in kind ways with one another, in simple ways. We'd love for you to go ahead and call the studio or text in at 877-933-2484, and we'd love to bring you on air. But for now, we will take a short break, and when we come back, we'll all be in studio, and Nicole J. Phillips will join us for some good stories on kindness. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. Just getting a text from the old friend I just referenced, Logan Roush, who's in Iowa. He's up and around, and he is saying that with the wind in Iowa, it's going to get down to -50 tomorrow. And with that, we'll bring on Nicole J. Phillips, who also worked in media in Fargo, North Dakota for a bit. Nicole, so you're at least somewhat familiar with this kind of weather. Was ever this cold while you were there?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We had, I think it was a winter of 13-14, that it was like 60 below, wind chill, like for a week. I don't know. We all just kind of went into our homes and never came out again.
And you're in Ohio at the moment. Is that correct?
That's right. And our high here today is 20 and our low is 0. And I think the lowest it has ever gotten in Athens, Ohio, where I live, is maybe 3 below. So people are freaking out that we might set a new record this week. So we'll see.
Well, that sounds warm enough that we can, after the show, we'll drive down to Ohio as a team here and we'll hit the beach with you guys on Erie, because that sounds just positively balmy, Nicole.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Oh, I love. Well, thanks for joining us. I know we've got stories of kindness that you tell us and each Tuesday morning that's really inspiring for us. And if you're listening again this morning, you've got a story of kindness, so I want to call in with that. I know Paul Perreault is ready to take your call, as well as 877-933-2484. And just brief stories of inspiring kindness. We're all on this journey together in the kingdom and love to just sort of encourage one another in that way. But Nicole, Paul was telling me before the show about a really interesting story involving peanut butter, of all things. Government shut down, all of this kind of stuff. Take some time, walk us through this story. It was really quite incredible.
Yeah, so there's a kid who is on the autism spectrum, and I believe it's in Virginia. And because of his autism, he is really, you know, taste sensitive. And so he has one particular brand of peanut butter that he likes. It's called Lidl, L-I-D-L. And he eats that peanut butter on an English muffin for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That is his staple and his safe thing that he can go to, right? So I'm sure for his parents, they're like, okay, we found something that's not going to bother him every time. So his mom found these jars of peanut butter on sale at the grocery store for 78 cents a jar. Like, yes, right? This is great. So she stocked up, bought everything they had, 72 jars. And the kid was so excited, he labeled them 1 through 72. Well, when he got to the 72nd jar and finished it, he tweeted out to the little company, the peanut butter company, and he said, I had 72 jars of your peanut butter. Well, they came back and they were like, wow, you know, the ultimate fan. Are you ready to up the ante? Because if you get 72,000 retweets on this tweet, we're going to send you peanut butter for the rest of your life. And so it was pretty exciting. The company also sent him right away, I think, a 5-year supply immediately. And then he, after about 3 months, got all these tweets he needed, and he did it. He got the lifetime supply. But here's where it's really interesting and how God always is just so, so interesting to me, so cool how he works in things. It just so happens that this boy with autism, father was a furloughed government worker. And so this boy's heart really kind of hurt for those government workers who weren't quite sure, you know, how to put food on the table, much less, you know, pay their rent or anything else. And so he and his mom went to the distribution center in Virginia and told all of the government workers that who were not receiving paychecks that they could come and they could have 3 jars of peanut butter per person. And so he basically gave it away. And that's kindness to me. That is special stuff.
No, it really is. Boy, it's one of those pay it forward moments, isn't it? Where you receive something and you turn and give in kind. And there's something about the spirit that just really opens up in those moments when you receive something and turn to give it. And it's tricky, but once you learn it, it really does create sort of this expansive heart.
And the best thing ever is when you begin to hear the Holy Spirit telling you to do something and then you listen, because every time you listen to the Holy Spirit, it seems to me to get louder. And that's pretty fun. And you get to go on more and more kindness adventures each day. And it's just, you know, it matters. It matters. And it brings us closer to God each time.
And Nicole, as we are talking about kindness and the weather sort of combined here, and we're getting some listener texts in that it's 24 below in Fertile, Minnesota right now with minus 50 wind chill. And I think about people who are going to be deeply impacted by this, not the least of which are people that don't have a home. But are there things that we can do just as people, maybe especially if we're off of work or off of school today, to just check in on some of our neighbors, make sure they're doing okay? I know sometimes it can feel awkward to be proactive in that way. But to your point, if you're listening to the Spirit and feeling prompted to move, it's a really good idea to just go and see if people need some help.
Yeah, and I think that this time, especially because it is so cold, you're not going to find people who are like, why are you knocking on my door to see if I'm okay? Like you might, you know, in the middle of springtime. If you're going to a neighbor's door and you're just saying, hey, I just wanted to check in on you, are you okay? I think that they're going to feel loved from that. You know, they might kind of give you a funny look, but you'll turn around, go back to your own house, and they're thinking, wow, somebody just cared about me. And, you know, some people love to spend their cold time indoors with kids or without kids, baking or cooking or things like that. And so what a terrific baking day. Just go and, you know, make a whole bunch of cookies, and maybe tomorrow you can figure out where they should go. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit will lead you to somebody who would be delighted to be taking a little bit of cookies.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Nicole J. Phillips this morning, who writes so much about kindness and does speaking and different kind of conference tours. And Nicole, if listeners are listening this morning, they want to catch some stories about kindness, remind us where they can go again.
Sure, braveandkind.net.
Well, so are you working on a book right now? I know you've released a couple of books on kindness. Is there something that you're moving forward with this in terms of some new material?
Yeah, absolutely. What, are you psychic or what, man?
You're looking at the, are you going to tell us about it? You're just going to leave us hanging here this morning, Nicole?
No, I'll tell you a little bit about it. I'll tell you about what I can tell you about it, which is there is a book about breast cancer that's coming out in 2019, which is this year. So that'll come out more toward the fall. And that's going to be a photographic journey of reconstruction. So it's not meant for everybody. It's meant for breast cancer survivors. And then I'm hoping in 2020 or 2021, I'm talking to a couple of different publishers right now, which is super exciting, about what will be my fourth book. And that is going to be a book that basically is a how-to guide for kindness. And it's kind of when I go and speak at corporations or churches or things like that, I love to give people concrete steps to add kindness into their day. That, to me, is so important. And so based on that is this book that will come out. But, you know, Peter, we're missing – you're covering up the lead, and I'm wondering if you're doing it intentionally, which is that I think this is the last time that you and I are going to get to do this interview.
That is true. So you're accusing me of burying the lead this morning. That's very kind of you to ask, Nicole. And why don't we do this? We'll take a short break and do some reflection on some of that. And I want to ask you a little bit more about your book, too. It sounds like we're getting a little sort of like almost CIA intelligence material. You gave us a little preview on that. So I want to get a sense of just even how your own journey intersects with this book that's coming forth. So we'll talk about these things here next on Faith Radio Mornings. About 19 minutes past the top of the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings, having a conversation about kindness with our good friend Nicole J. Phillips, who joins us on Tuesdays to talk about these topics and just inspire us to be people who are increasingly kind. And Nicole, I was not burying the lead. I just am not super comfortable, you know, highlighting myself as much as Rachel Sutton sort of, you know, shakes her head in studio constantly at me, which is fun. But yes, indeed, there is a transition coming up. Thursday is my last day in this particular role as the host of Faith Radio Mornings.
Well, it's interesting that you just played the intro song. Is that Matthew West, Let Your Light Shine? And I was just thinking as we were in the commercial break, Peter, that your light shines so brightly in so many different areas of life. And I don't know if people know all the different things that you have your hands in, all the different things that you're doing. And this is just one small piece of it. But your light shines brightly, and it's going to shine brightly wherever you go and whatever you do. And as you dedicate more time to your family and other things, and I just think it's really special that you were able to pour your light into the listeners for the time that you did.
I really
appreciate you for your service for that.
Yeah, I appreciate those comments. I really do, Nicole. They don't come lightly. And I think you know, too, that to whatever extent we are able to authentically shine God's light in this world, it usually is as a result of seasons of trial and turmoil where things need to be sort of reoriented and burned out of us in so many ways. And I know I have those stories in my life, having been given a terminal diagnosis at a point in the journey that we had to walk through as a family and came out the other side, thankfully, from that. But it does shift things. And I know some of those realities are part of your story as well.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I tell people when I speak that my mom married a prison inmate when I was in fourth grade. I got to be the flower girl in her prison chapel wedding. And, you know, you grow through this experience, and, you know, you might have shame, you might have guilt, you might have regret. But when you keep walking through it, you realize, like, you're not walking alone. God is walking with you, whether you can see him or not. many times that the pain that we go through is filled with purpose, and it's actually the pain is the training ground for our future purpose. And so I see that very clearly in my own life through lots of different things. And I think that when people can find the silver lining always in everything, then that's where other people see our light shine the best.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Nicole J. Phillips this morning about stories of kindness. And I think the interesting thing about this, Nicole, is especially with my young people, they always are wanting to do big things. And I think understandably so, because the messages we often give in the Christian community is something around do something big for God, make it be big for God. And I understand maybe the thinking around that, but it is these sort of subtle stories of kindness that maybe they never go viral, but they really do impact people's lives. And you don't know how that's going to ripple out into the future.
That's right. You know, it's so funny you would say that. I have an 8-year-old son, and the other day, he's in love with Dude Perfect. And the other day, they do these trick shots and everything. And my son and I were talking the other day about Dude Perfect. And I said, do you know how they started? And he said, well, yeah, they started, they did trick shots. And I said, no, do you know how they really started? And he's like, what do you mean, Mom? Like thinking I got some big insight. And I said, they started by going and playing in their backyard. It was a group of friends playing in their backyard. Now, they're grown men, but they were still playing in their backyard. And then they started doing funny shots. And then one of them said, you know, maybe we should videotape this. We should record this. And then another one said, you know, maybe we should put this on YouTube. And they kept doing it. I said, but, honey, it started from going and doing something they loved and enjoyed. That's what big things happen. And then my son said, yeah, and then I guess you just keep doing them. I said, that's right. These people who have these beautiful ministries have them because they show up every day wanting to love someone. And can't we all do that in our lives? Like just go to work and say, how can I love someone well today? And then do it every day. And before you know it, people are going to think you're a rock star for kindness.
Yeah, I love that, just the implications of that. Again, it's not some big thing that we're going to do, but it's that consistent sort of obedience and listening to the Spirit that really moves the kindness conversation forward. And Nicole, I do have a text from Logan Roush. I did reference him earlier. He is the former producer of The Morning Show, and he's on air down in Waterloo, Iowa now. And he was talking about some of your stories. He writes this morning, gave me permission to read it, that this is Logan now. I was sharing one of Nicole's stories of kindness on the air because I love them. And the next day I got a call from a listener. They said they were listening to the song Reckless Love, and as it was ending, she saw a man standing at the stoplight with a homeless sign, as we so often see. She felt the prompting to do something, see if he needed some help, but she felt a bit nervous. Then my break on air came where I shared a story of kindness about helping those in need, even if we're unsure how much they're in need. The woman was then encouraged to do something and pulled over at a nearby gas station, grabbing food, toiletries, etc. She went to give them to him, and he was just so grateful. The woman went on to say, I didn't really know if he was homeless or not, or what his intent might have been, but he seemed genuinely grateful, and I was encouraged to share kindness in that moment and the rest of my day by that story. So what you're doing, Nicole, has implications in these simple ways. Again, she didn't try to discern for sure whether this person was genuinely homeless. She just acted kindly because she felt prompted by the Spirit to do so.
You mean Logan actually listened to me when I told stories? I can't believe it.
Oh, we're going to get
Rachel
that.
Listening too?
Yes, Rachel, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and save what Nicole just said, because I'm going to play that over and over again in Logan's life moving forward. Right? This is perfect.
All right, sounds good. We'll make sure to send that to him.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Hi, Logan.
Oh, he just loved your stories, Nicole. He loved it. And he's telling them on air in Waterloo, Iowa now, which is just so much fun. But this is how this works. I mean, one thing leads to the next. And I love just for something to go viral that isn't just consumed on YouTube and cast aside or whatever, where there's really a viral community of people following God in this world that can act in these ways. That would be a viralness, as it were, that would be beautiful for the kingdom.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, when people say to me, oh, that person wrote a book on kindness, you know, too. And or why are you sharing your tips like over the radio or on TV? Because, you know, other people could use them. And I say, well, I hope other people use them. That's the whole thing. I mean, there is a team, there is a grassroots team of kindness warriors out there, and I get to be one of them. But as someone very wise once said to me, God isn't in the business of doling out pieces of pie. God is in the business of making more pies. So there is enough for all of us. Everybody can give, and there's going to be more, right? Everybody can have a little bit of credit, and there's going to be more if that's what you need. You know, so I think it's really great that we just do what we need to do, and sometimes it goes viral, and sometimes it goes viral and you don't know it.
Well, we are certainly appreciative of just sort of the impact you've had on us and Faith Radio Mornings. Nicole, I really appreciate your kind words earlier. I'm sure this won't be the last time we have a chance to talk, and looking forward to the work that you're releasing here in the next couple of years.
Well, I'm excited for you to come down to Ohio now that you have all kinds of free time and see an Ohio Bobcat basketball game. So put that on your calendar, all right, Peter?
We absolutely will. And if it's 20 degrees, Nicole, we're leaving this afternoon as a family. And like I said, we're hitting the shores of Lake Erie. It sounds wonderful right now. So thanks for all the work that you do, and we'll be in touch soon.
Bye for now.
We'll take a break here for some Breakpoint and bottom of the hour news, and looking forward to our next guest here in the second half of this hour. It's author Becky Davidson, who, along with her husband, is part of Rising Above Ministries, and they've released a book that really can help dads of children with special needs. Boy, what an exciting Breakpoint that is, the idea that you could get involved and learn about the teachings and the life and the ministry of C.S. Lewis. I know it's one of the things in my classrooms that I encourage my students often to do, is to look back through history to some of those significant and seminal writers and authors, not just to the last 50 years, but the last 500 years, past 1,500 years, even 2,000 years. There's been so many people that have walked out this incredible journey of faith. And when we read their work, when we engage with their material, we see that we're really part of a bigger kingdom than anything going on in this world in the moment, and it really brings a lot of anchoring to the soul. So I highly recommend, if you're listening this morning, to take advantage of those kinds of opportunities to engage in the wonderful wisdom of our past and our present. Yesterday on Faith Radio Mornings, we are joined by Brandon Showalter of the Christian Post, and he talked about banning certain kinds of counseling relative to same-sex attraction.
Really, what are they going to even try to ban? Because there are all sorts of ethical guidelines that licensed therapists have and abide by. And so today I've read up on this. I don't know of any government body that has ever formally taken action against a therapist for doing this quote-unquote conversion therapy. I mean, to me, there seems like a more nefarious purpose behind these kinds of things. It's about the suppression of the gospel. This seems to affect licensed therapists. Church counselors are going to be able to pray with people who are, you know, they feel certain attractions or the sexual feelings that they don't want. I just think this entire push to ban these things, we have to look at, okay, what's really going on here? What's the motive behind what's being outlawed? I would submit that it's something bigger and something more nefarious at work here.
Really appreciate that Brandon does such work on these topics of transgender and just gender fluidity, and so many of these conversations are such tricky topics. And he's not alarmist, but he's also suggesting we really, really need to get into this a little bit further and not just get swept away at the tide. If you want to listen to all of what Brandon had to say, just head to myfaithradio.com and search for our Faith Radio Morning Show yesterday and catch his 16 minutes. It had a lot of really important insights. Well, up next here, as we wrap up our show, we're going to be joined by author Becky Davidson from Rising Above Ministries, and we're going to talk about her new book about dads of children with special needs and how we can navigate parenting in this kind of situation.
Are you rested? Refreshed? If you're the parent of a teen, you may not know what those words mean anymore. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. In Matthew chapter 11, we read these comforting words from Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. That's a warm invitation, isn't it? When you're exhausted emotionally, physically, and spiritually, you can find refreshment in God's embrace. And as He's designed you to be the parent to your teens, you're also called to offer that rest to them. Jesus said, come to me, and you will find rest for your souls.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Check out his latest resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
We will rise to praise you.
Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings here for the 29th of January. I'm your host, Peter Kapsner, and delighted to be joined at this time by author Becky Davidson, who, along with her husband, Jeff Davidson, has released a book that came out a week ago called Common Man, Extraordinary Call, Thriving as the Dad of a Child with Special Needs. Such an important conversation in our country with our families today. Good morning, Becky. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you this morning.
Now, very much looking forward to this conversation as kind of read through the prep and the notes and some of the topics of the book. But tell us first a little bit about the ministry that you're a part of.
Well, back in 2005, my late husband and I started a ministry for special needs families called Rising Above Ministries. And we started it out of the life of our now 21-year-old son, John Alex, who has profound special needs. And we saw early on just the isolation that we felt as a special needs family. I remember feeling like we were the only family in our community who had a child with special needs, and we just wanted to provide a safe, welcoming place for special needs families like ours. And so we started in 2005, and it has just continued to grow in ways that we could have never imagined all those years ago, now into a thriving national ministry.
Well, and it's such an important ministry, too, Becky. And I know that the autistic spectrum and some of these kinds of realities for so many of our families has really been on the increase. That's just one example of a child with special needs. There's so many. And
yes.
And I think as you've referenced for parents, there's probably that moment, right, when you first learn that your child is going to have some sort of special needs, that it really does change the trajectory of maybe your thoughts and your dreams. So kind of walk us through your experience with that and what you suggest for parents when they first maybe get word that there's going to be a different or unique situation here.
Right. Well, that was, such a big deal for us because, when we were expecting our son, we, of course, were expecting to have a typical child who would play sports and do all the things like that. We knew we were having a son, and my husband was expecting to be able to play catch with him in the backyard and do sports with him and do all the kinds of things that he did with his dad growing up. And then when our son was close to a year old, we started realizing, something's just not quite right here. And that began this long process of one diagnosis that then led to another diagnosis and just this spiral of what do we do and where do we turn for help and how do we navigate this new world. And what's very interesting is that moms tend to get into this mode of, I'm going to get online, I'm going to research, I'm going to find all that I can find, how to help my child get the resources and things that they need. And a lot of times the dads go into denial or anger where they kind of check out. And so that is why Jeff felt it was so important to write this book, because he wanted to help dads learn how to navigate this new world that you've been thrown into that you were more than likely not planning or knowing that you were going to have unless you adopted a child with special needs.
And Becky, I think that is a common response that I've heard as people have told their stories of being parents with special needs, exactly the response where the mom maybe enter into a lot of the research and understanding and thinking about how to shepherd the child, but there can be this sort of withdrawal that often happens with dads. It's not across the board, but that is a common pattern. Are there some underpinnings going on, and as you guys talked about this and some of the responses, that would create some of this withdrawal? Is it some things where expectations maybe they had were not going to be met, or what kind of underpins the withdrawal syndrome?
Well, a lot of that goes to, and in the book, Jeff calls them landmines. It's landmines that pose a threat to special needs families. And a lot of those things go down to when a child misses a milestone. That was a big one for us. When our son, when we realized that we were going to have to save our son every day of his life, that wrecked my husband because he was, he thought, I'm going to teach him how to shave. I'm going to teach him how to be a man. And yet we are, he's full on care with our son. Another one is like when he turned 16, all of our friends, their kids were going out and getting their driver's license and learning to drive. Well, that was not going to be the reality for our family. And so you go through this kind of a stage of being envious of other families because your expectations have been totally turned upside down. What you thought your life was going to look like has been flipped upside down. And so learning how to navigate that, learning how to deal with that, and for the husband and wife to give each other the grace to walk the path wherever they are on that journey, but to encourage each other to get through the process and to do it together, to where you are stronger. I will tell you, Jeff and I became stronger
And our marriage became stronger because of the walk that we went through of raising a child with special needs. And that's the case for a lot of families, but for a lot of families it's not. So that just learning how to stay together and give each other the grace that you need for wherever you are on the journey.
Well, and I think, Becky, those the words of wisdom you're offering right now, it's true for all of us, whether we have children with special needs or not. I know for parents there is that maybe shift that needs to take place between expectations of what I think the child should become to just shepherding who the child actually is.
Yep,
and it's a trivial story. I know my son, Caleb, my oldest, when he was little, we got him right into the Little League baseball because I played baseball. His grandpa on both sides of the family played baseball. It's part of what we did. He wanted to play soccer, and I couldn't understand for the life of me why he would. Nobody ever scores in soccer. How is it possibly exciting? All of those things. So I had him in baseball for a long time when he just wanted to play soccer. And what's funny is when we shifted our thinking, or I shifted my thinking about shepherding him for who he actually was, now we so just sit back and enjoy soccer together, and it's just been an incredibly different kind of development.
Well, and for us, one of the things that we try to equip families to do is to learn to see the flip side. So when we saw that our son was not going to drive, you know, that could really wreck you. But then the flip side of that is, you know, we don't ever have to worry about our son getting in a car wreck, or we don't ever have to worry about where he is. We know where he is. So we learned how to flip it to where we could see the positives in the life situation that we had. It's so easy to want to focus on the negatives and how hard things are, but we really learned how to see God's goodness and all of that and how this was actually for our good. And so that's something we're very passionate about, is helping special needs families to learn how to flip it and to see that, no, this can really be a beautiful, wonderful thing, and to just embrace your child the way God created them to be.
I love it. We're talking with Becky Davidson this morning here on Faith Radio Mornings, author who, along with her husband, released a book called Common Man, Extraordinary Call, Thriving as the Dad of a Child with Special Needs. I know it was released last week, Becky, and it's available through the usual channels. Highly recommend if you're listening this morning and are facing this kind of reality moving forward, picking up a copy of this book. And Becky, when we come back from a short break, I would love to get your perspective on what you see the role of the church can be in helping with families with special needs and ways in which they can impact and really come alongside and assist these families. So more to come with Becky Davidson next on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings, where we're having a delightful and I think really important conversation with author Becky Davidson, and her ministry, Rising Above Ministries, released a book here, came out last week, called Common Man, Extraordinary Call, that chronicles how to be a dad with special needs kids and what it means to maybe change the expectations and moving forward and thriving with our kids. And Becky, if some of our listeners are facing this sort of situation, is there some way they can contact you or Rising Above Ministries to help with this?
Absolutely. You can find us on at risingaboveministries.org. That's the best place to find all the information about what we do. We have a wonderful social media presence. So we have a great Facebook page, so you can find encouragement. And we also have an online connect group that takes place through a Facebook group where we have families from all around the country, all around the world, who have children with special needs, where we come together every day for a Bible study and encouragement. And so that is a great place. You can find all that through our Rising Above Facebook page. But our website, risingaboveministry.org, has all of that information as well.
Oh, I love the work that you're doing. It's so important, Becky. And I think about the local church. And I know so many people in pastoral ministry. It's been my life's work the last 20 years or so. And just being in churches and really have sympathy for the pressures that are on pastors. It's a 24/7 kind of call. And yet at the same time, I don't know that a lot of churches have been able to kind of get ahead of it a bit and get ahead of this curve about how to help families with special needs kids. There's just so much that's there. Do you have suggestions that if a church wants to get started really building an environment that is very helpful to families with special needs, that they can at least take some first steps?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we always say start where you are. If you have a family in your church who has a child with special needs, do whatever you can do to help that family. That's where you start. Minister to that family, because the reality is when you minister to that child with special needs, when you provide a place for them to go to be taught and led just like you would any other child in your church, you are giving that parent an opportunity to go sit in worship, to go get fed themselves. You're allowing any sibling that's part of that family to also go to their class, go to church, be a part of the church body. We ran into a situation, even in our own life. My husband was on staff at a church, and our church did not have a special needs ministry. And so we ended up having to pay someone to come and be our child's buddy at church because there was no one else to care for him. And I just remember what a heartbreaking experience that was for us. But the great thing was, out of that, now our church has a thriving special needs ministry. So if you just start with where you are, start with what any family that you might possibly have and start small right there. Just minister to who you have. And then there's resources like through Rising Above. We have a For Jonathan's Sake training where we walk churches through the basics of how you start a special needs ministry. There are also several other ministries out there like Key Ministry who also do the same thing, who will walk you step by step how to do it. And you don't have to, I think a lot of people back away from it because they're afraid that it's going to grow into something bigger than what they can handle. But the reality is we are to love and minister to everyone that God sends into our path, even those who have special needs. And so when we do that, that is really being the hands and feet of Christ to that entire family.
Well, Becky, as you talk about that, there's more to it, too, than just even sort of providing a place of care where sort of maybe the kids can be occupied, special needs for an hour while the parents are about the important work
Absolutely.
Of service or something. The kids really are on a spiritual journey, and they really are disciples of Jesus, whether there's a Down syndrome situation or a spectrum situation. Just because people don't process things from sort of a language standpoint in the way that others might, this is a spirit-to-spirit connection we have with God. And so
Absolutely.
We want to invite our kids to actually be disciples, not just to care for them, to sort of get them out of the way for an hour.
Absolutely. Our big thing is not a babysitting service. It is not, you know, you're not providing child care. You know, we believe fully that our children, including my son, God speaks to him in ways that he can understand. And so God speaks to his spirit. I fully know that my son knows a whole lot more than what the world would ever think that he knows. And so absolutely, it is not just providing care for that child during that time, but it is teaching them just as you would any other child and finding ways to go into their world to teach them in ways that they can understand and ways to help them. But ultimately, God's going to be the one who's going to teach them. We're just the vessels to help facilitate that.
Becky, we have just about a minute left or so, and I'm thinking about parents that are listening this morning that have special needs kids. And I often hear the comment that the years are short, but the days are long with our kids. And for those parents that maybe are just having to sort of face some things day in and day out, do you have some suggestions for just how to stay faithful on the journey?
You know, for us, Jeff and I, we pray together a lot. We decided early on that we were a team in this. That we were going to do this thing together. We were not going to allow this to separate us. We also saw the importance of community. And we saw that we, as a special needs family, it's so hard to be able to go and do things that typical families do. But we created an environment, a place where we could have community with others. Because isolation is the worst thing you can do. And so finding people that will welcome you into their home, will welcome you into their church, to welcome you into to be a part of their life, it's just so important. And we had to create a lot of those spaces ourselves when they were not there. But community is such an important thing. And so that for us, those were the main things, just that we decided early on, we're in this thing together. And we're going to do this life together, and we're going to get them to find that community and to be willing to ask for help, to be willing to invite people into your story, to be able to be open and raw and real and share what your needs are. We so often just want to just say, we're okay, we've got it all together, but we all need help from time to time. And so to be willing to ask for help, not be ashamed to do that.
Well, Becky, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. We at Faith Radio Mornings are so appreciative. We'll be praying for your ministry moving forward. And again, for listeners listening, the book is Common Man, Extraordinary Call. Highly recommend picking up a copy of that. Becky, have a great rest of your week.
Thank you so much. You too.
We'll take a break and wrap up our show here for the 29th of January on Faith Radio Mornings. Well, Paul Perreault, stay warm in the next 24 hours. We're going to be here tomorrow morning at about minus 30 in the air temperature, from what I understand.
Yeah, cold enough for you?
It'll be cold enough for me for sure. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate just spending the mornings like this with all of you. Continue on this journey of faith, even when it's not easy, as we'll fix our eyes on Jesus together day in and day out here on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.